Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi.
Wa barakatuh. You're back here with Muhammad Yusuf Bashforth and
Junaid Rahim.
Also known as...
The two white Muslims.
Now, two white Muslims. Well, for what reason could we be called the two white Muslims?
Well, we're told there's three very good reasons. Reason number one...
Well, there are two of us.
Reason number two...
We are both white.
Well, we wouldn't normally be, but this weather...
I'm kind of pinky.
You're kind of pinky.
Pinky lobster.
And I've moved towards tanned. But the third and most important reason...
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We are both...
Muslim.
And very proud to be so.
Incredibly proud
to be so. Do you know, our lives changed for the better.
Yes.
Yeah, mine 27 years ago. Junaid, yours?
Around about 16 years ago.
60, you're just a baby.
I'm just a mere cherub. A baby.
Our lives changed for the better. Our lives changed for the better. What do you think?
Bambino! Do you know, I don't know why I'm reminded of this.
Have I put something in your coffee today?
Must have. I don't know why.
This is bonkers.
I don't know why I'm reminded of this, but a very, 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 very dear friend of mine, David, one of the, I mean, you know, it probably second only to you as the nicest guy you could ever wish to meet in your life. David Richardson, absolutely brilliant, funny, fat, and he bought a moped, right? Yep. This is when we've got to be 35.
Okay.
He bought a moped because it didn't work too far from home. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And he was just sick of paying petrol, so he got a moped.
Okay.
Yeah, this beautiful, brand new, but this beautiful brand new moped, 1,300 quid or whatever it was. They weren't a huge amount of money at the time, you know what I mean? Well, they couldn't be in that much, used to give them away on Bullseye. So they got this thing, but he took the decals off it.
Wait a minute, is that when they couldn't afford a speedboat?
Yeah, they're always landlocked. He's like, and here, where do you live? You want a speedboat, where do you live? Nottingham.
Huddersfield. So, plenty of sea around you there.
Absolutely. Oh, and they're always really happy. You want a speedboat?
Speedboat, yeah.
Want a speedboat? Have you got out to pull it with? No.
No, I don't drive. It's all right, I've got a garden shed.
You can sit on it on your drive.
Get it in there,
oh, we've got a shared drive. Yeah, he got this moped and he got the decals taken off it and he made decals.
I'm on the fourth story of a block of flats. What am I going to do with a speedboat?
Can you imagine that doughboy with it? Oh my goodness.
Sorry, anyway.
No, it's okay. So he got this moped and he had decals made, and the decals said Ducati Bambino. And I don't know why, but we found that unbelievably funny.
Yeah.
So he rode, because people took it really seriously. Oh, yeah, you ride. What do you ride? A Ducati Bambino. And they go, I've never heard of that. He goes, God, I'll show you. And he got, you know what I mean? And just, and that is the kind of guy he was. And he used to drive to work. Now, he didn't need a top hat, not a top hat, a bowler hat or an umbrella, but he would ride with them. And he would take them just so that he was that kind of guy. So he'd have his crash helmet on. But he would hold on the handlebars a bowler hat, and under his arm he'd have his umbrella. Why? Because that's what he did. He's brilliant, brilliant. It's only about 3 miles. It was funny,
crazy,
funny,
crazy.
Oh dear.
So
dear,
your life then has been a series of nutters.
Yeah, bonkers is what
friends,
they are.
Bonkers.
Then I met you.
Can we shout that out again?
Oh, yeah, because people have been thinking, why do they keep using the word bonkers?
Well, on Monday morning,
yes.
last Monday, in the breakfast show,
yep.
The screen lit up and it was a new message.
Yep.
And the message read, gosh, exclamation mark.
Exclamation mark.
Block capitals.
Which in effect meant that they were shouting it, gosh!
Gosh! I've just tuned in to this show and you two... are bonkers.
Brilliant.
And a big smiley face.
Yay.
Best accolade I've ever had.
Wonderful.
In my life.
What a lovely thing.
Do you know what?
Say.
I'd prefer that than to be knighted.
Yeah.
Well, then again, Sir Bonkers.
Sir Bonkers.
It's got a ring to it.
Yes, absolutely. They get to change the name, don't they? We can change ours.
Sir Bonkers.
Sir Bonkers. Sir Bonkers.
That was the best accolade I've ever had in my
yes.
life.
So
it made it all worthwhile.
Yes. So when we say we're bonkers, it's a flattering term.
It is.
It's a term of endearment. A term of affection. Oh my goodness.
Where were we?
You were saying about when we converted to Islam.
Yep.
Our lives changed.
For the better.
For the better.
For the better. And this is This is you know when I took this young lady into the masjid to do her shahada.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the best things.
So if we quickly just say what a shahada is, just in case we've got non-Muslims listening.
It's for when the shahada is an Arabic word and it simply means declaration of faith.
Declaration of faith.
So it's where you declare your faith and that it is the shahada, the declaration of faith,
yep,
that brings you into Islam,
yes,
and makes you a Muslim.
A Muslim. How cool is that?
So, you know, it's just a simple declaration.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the best things about doing the shahada is the explanation of what the shahada actually is in,
yes,
English. Yeah. And to see people's faces light up, and I'm,
yeah,
talking about Muslims here.
Yes.
When I look around the room at the people that are here to witness,
yeah,
and I start explaining what the shahada is in English.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I say, you testify.
Yeah.
You bear witness,
yeah,
that there is one God.
Yeah.
And that God is Allah.
Yeah.
And you testify, you bear witness that Muhammad, may the peace, blessings and mercy of Allah be with him,
mm-hmm,
was the last and final,
yeah,
messenger and prophet of Allah.
Yeah.
And that is your declaration,
that's
of
it,
faith. That's it.
Say that.
That's all
that
it is.
Makes you Muslim.
And, you know,
say that and believe it.
It's say it from your mouth,
yes,
believe it in your heart.
Yes.
And
brilliant,
you are from that moment Muslim.
Wow.
And then when I explain to the new, and I always say takbir, and,
yeah,
I always say Allah Akbar. And it's just
it's
a lovely.
Joyous. It's brilliant.
Lovely.
See some people mopping tears.
Then
your eyes are sweating.
I'll turn to the subject, the person that's just taken the,
yeah,
shahada, and explain to them that no matter what they have done in,
yeah,
their lives, no matter what, if anything has brought them to sin,
yeah,
all of that is completely wiped clean.
Yeah.
The slate is wiped clean.
Yeah.
And at that point, they are as if they are newborn,
yeah,
at that moment.
Yes.
Yeah. And I always turn then to anybody around and say, we have a new Muslim in the room.
Wow.
Takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu
Akbar, Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Do you know, and it's actually something that affects me quite deeply,
yeah,
is this. Because I remember the person that did that for me. Yeah, it was my my dear, dear friend, Sufi Rashid Mughal, who,
oh,
tragically has passed away since. And I miss him to this day, miss him terribly. He was like a father. He was like a second father to me. But when he did that for me, and he explained with, and I can see the glint in his eye and the smile on his face, when he explained that you are like a newborn baby. You are absolutely shiny, brand new, at this moment.
Mm.
And that feeling that you get when you just realise what that means,
yeah,
is incredible. And of course then, you know, you start stacking them up again, like we're doing, don't,
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
We're only human.
Yeah.
You know, and I say I'm proud to be Muslim, and I am Muslim.
Mm.
I've never said that I'm a good Muslim. I mean, I'm trying my best. You know, I'm trying.
Yeah, we're trying.
I'm trying.
You're very trying.
So are you, sir. So are you, sir.
Right back at you.
I invite you to leave. Please. Subhanallah. So, you know, that feeling that, you know, doing that,
yeah,
being in a privileged position.
And seeing their face when you tell them that.
It's just amazing.
It is incredible. Because you can almost see what's going through the face. Oh my goodness, it's almost, you know, like the seven stages of,
yeah,
grief. Whatever. You,
yeah,
know, it's almost like, that can't be true. Oh my goodness, is that true? Oh my goodness, that's true. Let me think about all the things that I've done. So that wiped, and you can see them trying to work,
yeah,
out this, what
does
means,
that actually mean to me?
And then when it lands, and you can
That's when the tears start.
I was just about to say, you can see the emotion.
You can see
I remember feeling it, I'm sure you,
yeah,
do.
Absolutely.
And you can see it,
yeah,
you can see it.
Absolutely.
You just think, wow. Wow.
Alhamdulillah.
How
a
lucky,
privileged position we're in.
Yeah. Amazing.
To be given that as a task. Please can you do this shahada for,
yeah,
this person who wants to become Muslim?
Yes.
And you go through the preliminaries, you know, you're doing this of your own volition. Yep. This is your choice. Nobody's forced you here.
Yep.
Nobody's making you do this. Nobody's twisted your arms up your back. Yep. And, this is from your heart, and this is something that you actually want to do.
Absolutely.
For yourself.
No compulsion in this religion.
And so long as you get a round of nods. Yeah. Yep. And this one on Saturday night actually said, 100%.
Yeah.
It's me. Yes. 100%.
Brilliant.
I just thought, alhamdulillah. Yeah. I'll buy that. 100%. I'll buy that. 100%.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah.
So, you know, to be in that position where you can do that is just a truly, truly beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And listeners, you'll be able to see it in all its glory on our YouTube channel within the next week or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, give it a watch and do dua that this person's journey into Islam and all the learning that she now has to do, that Allah makes it easy for her, inshallah, and blesses her with guidance and shows her the Sirat al-Mustaqim, inshallah. Right back at you just after this, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi.
Wa barakatuhu.
I forgot my line.
I'm going to say, you're looking all confused there. It's not normally me saying that, but is it?
Forgive me. I've got a few buttons and sliders to look at as well. This is the hard side of the desk.
Yep.
You sat at the...
I was at the easy side of the desk.
You always sit at the easy side of the desk.
Always sit at the easy side of
the
desk.
With your feet up.
With my feet up.
Casual as you come.
Yep.
Yeah. Not a care in the world.
People walk past that, I'm just pointing going, it's me sciatica. It's not, I'm just lazy.
It's not sciatica at all.
I mean, I have got sciatica and it is awful, but I'll be doing this anyway. I always sit with my feet up.
Don't I know it?
I sit with my feet up at home. I have to.
Yep.
It's comfy for me. I don't know. I must have little legs or something.
It's a circulation thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's always been the same though. I just find this comfy.
You want to raise your legs. Ah. Get your circulation. Get the blood to your head.
Yeah. Well, it obviously works.
What, blood in your head? I see no evidence of that.
No,
sir.
Absolutely not. Whatsoever.
All I see in your head.
I'm just twiddling an imaginary long moustache.
When I imagine what's in your head, I imagine clouds.
Yes, yeah.
The occasional sheep.
Yeah, do you know on The Simpsons, whenever they show you in Homer Simpson's head, it's a monkey playing cymbals. That's always in my head. Just a monkey playing cymbals. Oh, I love that. I love it.
Anyway, where were we?
The next thing I wanted to talk about, because it caught my eye, and it also links into a Simpsons quote, because it's about alcohol.
Okay.
It's about alcohol. Now, as Muslims, what's our view of alcohol?
We don't do alcohol.
We don't do alcohol. And when I was...
Let's just examine some of the reasons why.
I think we should.
Okay. Number one, Allah tells us we can't.
Yes, let's go with that one first of all. Yes.
Do you know what? All the other reasons can now just go and do one.
Exactly.
I'm not interested.
Exactly.
Allah told me I can't do alcohol.
Yes.
Therefore, I ain't doing it.
Yeah, because then you become almost childlike, where it's like, because Dad says so. Yeah, but why? Because Dad says so. Yeah, but why? Oh, now I need to start justifying. Well, yes. Well, if I need to justify it, let's go on to points 2, 3, and 4 then. But yeah, let's say point number one, well, because we're told not to.
Yeah.
Now, I always
think... It's good enough for me.
Yeah, good enough for me, because what I'm finding, and I don't know everything, like we always say, we're neither sheikhs nor scholars, and anybody that listens will absolutely know that to be the case.
You know that within minutes.
We're learning as we go. But what I'm learning is that everything that's put in front of me is put in front of me for my own good.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Very rarely. I haven't found anything where I go, oh, that's evidently done just to annoy me. That's evidently done just to make my life more difficult. No. It's all there for the betterment of humanity. It's all there for me, you, and everybody around us to feel and be better. Brilliant.
Yes.
And so point number one, because Allah says so.
And that's good enough.
There are many other points. It has now been proven. Well, I'm going to say it has now been proven that alcohol can be rather bad for you. I think we've known that for quite a while.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I think we have, to be fair.
If it makes you fall over, it can't necessarily be good for you. If it makes you beat people up that you might otherwise love and adore, I'm not sure it's good for you. If it is basically
a poison... If it makes
poison,
you belligerent and argumentative.
Yeah. I mean, that matches...
Or is that your natural
that's just
state?
My, that's my personality, that. That's just my personality. You know, it kind of... if it makes you say things that you wouldn't normally say and do things that you wouldn't normally do, maybe that's not the best.
No.
No. So the overriding view of alcohol within Islam is don't do it.
Don't have any.
Don't have any. Simple as. And then you start looking up and down this great British eye of ours. And if you want reasons not to, oh my goodness, just go out on a Friday night. Go out into a town across this great British Isle of ours on a Friday or Saturday night and tell me you're not terrified. I can't believe as a youth I would have gone into those streets, do you know what I mean? And I now look at them and think, oh my goodness.
To be honest, as a youth, before I was given this beautiful Islam.
Yes.
I did used to go on those streets.
Yep.
I used to be in there.
Yep.
I used to be that was my part of my life.
Absolutely.
Because I knew no better.
Yes.
Or I knew no different at
yes.
that stage.
Yes, knew different.
I mean, I do now.
Cool. Yeah.
And I now know the haram that represents
yep.
on so many different levels.
Yeah.
That I know to avoid it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like Friday nights, takeaway night for us.
Yes, of course.
Takeout night. As if that's some kind of treat, which I'm sure it isn't. But... Friday night's takeout night, so you can't avoid but going to town because that's where the takeaways are
yes.
that we enjoy.
Yeah,
it's appalling.
Yeah,
it's
early doors
mayhem.
Imagine it's what it's like at
utterly
midnight
appalling.
Or something, 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness!
And the poor guys that stand there, you know, doormen and
yeah.
bouncers,
and the guys working in the plane, the guys
the
working
police,
in the takeouts, and
the police, the emergency services, the ambulance
yeah.
people, the paramedics that regularly
actually an emergency. Can you imagine Friday night and Saturday night at A&E?
How insulting.
Oh, my goodness.
Subhanallah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, we're quite aware
yeah.
of how bad alcohol
yeah,
is.
Absolutely.
And there are so, so many reasons, not least of which Allah tells us
yes.
not to.
And if we're then looking for evidence, can I give you some evidence that I saw? Because when things pop up, I think, oh, we'll chat about that. We'll chat about that. Are
yep.
you ready?
Ready?
Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready?
Give me some.
Drunk mum repeatedly punched husband on EasyJet flight in sangria-fueled rampage.
Hang on a minute.
With the headline.
Can I have,
what a headline!
Can I have that piece by piece again, please?
Drunk mother. Repeatedly punched husband.
Okay.
On EasyJet flight in... Sangria-fueled rampage.
Sangria is that Spanish drink.
Sangria is that Spanish drink.
Subhanallah. So this is a woman repeatedly...
And this is a mother!
Punching her husband.
Her husband.
Subhanallah.
To the point where it's in the news.
Subhanallah.
Do you know what I mean? Now...
You know, this is just ridiculous. This is where actually, you know, alcohol's not just wrong, but it's actually very dangerous.
Absolutely.
Stuff. Because it brings down barriers that are there for a reason. Yeah, those barriers are there for a reason through common decency. Yeah, and it removes some of those barriers, and alcohol fueled
yep.
Can cause utter mayhem.
Yes,
it is vicious stuff. It's vile stuff.
Yep,
and you know when the prohibition of alcohol came, it didn't come all at once. You know that it was kind of in stages.
That alone is quite clever because just saying to people, "No,
you can't do that again."
Yeah.
Well, actually, a lot of people might object to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was taken in stages.
A gradual process.
Yeah.
A
gradual process over a period of time.
Yeah.
Where that culminating in then prohibition of
yeah
you're not allowed. Don't do this.
Yeah.
It's haram.
Yeah.
So it wasn't haram in the first instance. Mm. It was disliked. It was
yeah.
something that was...
Frowned upon.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
But then it became haram.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over a period of time.
Because let's be honest, when it comes to people, give an inch and they take a mile.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? If you say...
Do you know a few people like that?
I know a few people like that. You know, I tend to be a bit of an all or nothing... Put me in front of jam donuts. Good lordy, lordy, lordy.
Give him a jam donut.
You know.
Back off.
So it was a classic example. This lady, she's named in the paper. I shan't mention names. I don't think that's very. I don't think that's very fair. Sharon Simonite
begins with S. Haran Simonite.
Ends with Haran, yeah, Simonite. Was tranquilised.
What?
Before boarding the plane.
Eh?
But that didn't stop her rummaging through overhead lockers for booze.
Oh, so bad.
So she was well on her way before she even got on the plane. It says, a drunken mum rummaged through plane lockers in a desperate search for alcohol before launching a mid-air attack on her husband. Sharon Simonite lost control after being refused four glasses of wine on a flight to Liverpool from holiday hotspot Mallorca.
Oh.
Have you ever flown to or from Mallorca?
No.
Right, okay. But, given that it's Spain...
Can't be much above 2.5 hours.
I was going to say, it's about 3 hours.
Right, okay.
Because it's the further... It's maybe okay. 3.5 hours.
Right.
It is not a long flight.
No.
It's like driving to Glasgow.
Actually, it's less than that.
It's less than that, if you think about it. Just to put it into perspective.
I mean, hang on a minute. Sometimes driving to Manchester can take two and a half hours.
Very true, very true. Her outburst, which led to police meeting her on the John Lennon Airport runway...
Wow.
...came even though she'd been tranquilised by doctors before boarding her plane.
No.
And it goes on about, basically, her husband had noticed a change in her behaviour as she disappeared to the toilets for 4 or 5 minutes with a full bottle of sangria in her bag, which was not there when she came back.
She drank the whole bottle.
Drank the whole bottle.
Then came back and then came back.
Then came back and got on the plane.
All right.
Well, then came back and was too drunk to get on the plane, so they had to tranquilise her. Okay. When she got on the plane, she wanted to drink more. They wouldn't serve her, so she started rummaging through the overhead compartments. When her husband tried to stop her, I'm thinking at that point she started beating him up. Do you know what I mean? But it reminds me, one of the few places in the world, excuse me, where you can't get away from alcohol is an airport.
Yep.
And it's 24 hours a day.
Yeah, it is.
Name me another place where people think, even people who don't see alcohol as being a problem, where people think, yeah, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, let's have a drink.
They
do, don't they?
That's right,
You see it all the time, no matter whatever time of day. And that's one of the reasons now I dread my flight being delayed. Because people start drinking.
Get trolley drunk.
And they get trolley and they drink up to the point at which they're supposed to get on a plane. That plane's delayed for 2 hours. They're already at a point, you know, beyond the point of no return, but they keep drinking.
SubhanAllah.
And when they get on the it's awful.
Do you know?
It's awful. They're awful to their own kids.
There are so many benefits in being Muslim.
Yep.
So many good things about being Muslim.
Yep.
So many, I mean, you know, it's like, Allah is our creator.
Yep.
He knows us better than we know ourselves.
Absolutely.
And for that reason, he stops us from doing certain things.
Things that are going to be destructive.
Will be harmful and destructive.
Absolutely.
Alcohol is one of those things.
Yep.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
I'm glad that's
amazing?
The case.
Isn't that amazing?
Alhamdulillah.
Isn't that amazing?
Alhamdulillah.
So, classic example, when you're saying, do things that very differently... There's been a World Cup on. I don't know. Have we mentioned it?
Has there? is it still coming home?
It's finished. I don't know what I'm going to do in the evenings. But I remember the first World Cup after I'd converted to Islam.
Yep.
Watching England play and then being able to go for a drive.
Yeah.
And that now sounds really obvious. And there are people, my very good friends, who I speak to and go, what do you mean? So you must understand... Before being Muslim, it was just perfectly normal and natural that everything you did involved alcohol.
Yeah, it did.
If you went to the cinema, if you went bowling, if you went for a meal, everything that you did. You know what I mean?
I'll drink to that.
I'm not being funny. Catholic mass has wine in it.
It does.
Do you know what I mean?
Which I found to my delight when I was an altar boy.
Oh, incredible, incredible. So to be able to, you know, cut that out of your life is just amazing. And the number of people I speak to who are non-Muslim, I go, what, you don't drink? Oh my, if only they knew.
I know.
If only they knew.
If only they knew the blessing in the not blessing. Drinking.
The blessing.
Blessing in not drinking.
Do you know what I mean? Oh my God. The reason that we weren't able to come this morning is because we were busy at meetings. Yep. There'll be some people struggling this morning because they couldn't drive. Do you know what I mean?
Subhanallah.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now, whilst we might not drink alcohol, we do drink coffee.
We do indeed.
And I'm looking at empty cups.
Do you know, I think it's time.
Sorry, for... what I really mean is, I think the listeners would like a nasheed.
Do you know what? I think they're going to get one.